This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Top of the hour, it is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. There's our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. And Jensen, did you exhale this weekend, speaking of Cleveland, Ohio, when the King decided he wasn't coming back to Cleveland?
Yes, yes. Our national nightmare is over. The narcissism continues. We wanted to take our time. You know, this is about legacy. Sure it was. Just so glad it's done and we don't have to worry about it any longer.
But we still have to talk about it, and that's where we begin. Hour number two, our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
And it was the talk of the NBA offseason. Kind of bizarre to think about that LeBron James did kind of hold it captive there for quite some time, much longer. He and Adam Silver, as we talked about last week in the program, maybe they were at odds for how long this thing was taking to get done, but it's done. 2 years, $8 million contract for the Sixers. So a very paltry deal when it comes to the numbers here, Jensen, which gives you some roster flexibility. But LeBron says he wanted to wait and make sure that the final move was the right move. He does have an option in this contract. I don't know if he would exercise that. We're still talking about this in 2 years. But Jensen, what do we make of this now for what looks like a 2-year window here in Philadelphia?
Yeah, I was just happy to go on Spot Track just to see where the big five here now. Because hey, let's be honest, Vijay Edgecombe is the fourth highest paid guy on this team. He's he makes more than LeBron does. So you're looking at obviously the window is now, right? These guys trying to go and maximize an opportunity not only this season but next season. And you know, for what it's worth, I would love to see a documentary on the practices, the meetings. How does Nick Nurse handle all the personalities there? I would imagine that there could be a call to one Phil Jackson, who has a lot of experience dealing with all those kind of personalities and what to do there. I don't think this is the reincarnation of the Chicago Bulls and the Last Dance teams, but they're going for it, that's for sure. And LeBron the mercenary, not the way I thought he was going to end his career, but that's the way it's looking here, at least for this season and next season.
Second betting choice right now to win the Eastern Conference behind the Knicks and only back behind them by 20 cents. That's it. So quite the market adjustment here. Plus 330 for the Knicks, plus 350 for the Sixers. 6-1 for the Celtics. Jaylen Brown now on that Sixer roster. 8-1 for Detroit, 9-1 for the Raptors, Kawhi Leonard back there, and then 10-1 for Giannis in the Miami Heat. Yes, think about those names and those teams. They're all different right now, except for the big boys up front, the Knicks, at still plus 330. Boy, this is a tough one. You hear about Shea Langeliers, because I know how much we liked watching him play for the A's. You might still be able to watch him play for the A's, whether that's going to be in Las Vegas in the soon future, because it felt like he was going to get dealt. You don't want to say that was a foregone conclusion that he was going to get dealt, but he could miss the rest of the year now with a torn meniscus, and now there's no incentive to trade for an injured player here and an all-star in Shea Langeliers. Who do you think this hurts more? I know the A's are going to say we weren't going to deal him anyway, but Jensen, I don't know if that would have been true.
Well, they are obviously going to be benefiting from the timing of this injury. Listen, the A's 9 games out of a playoff spot. They're not getting to the postseason. But this now will force teams to look elsewhere in the catching market. And, you know, you were thinking of the Yankees, who had some conversations already about the potential of acquiring a Shea Langeliers. It looks like that's going to likely shift to a Ryan Jeffers of the Minnesota Twins, a Tyler Stevenson of the Cincinnati Reds. It sounds more and more like Hunter Goodman, the star catcher for the Colorado Rockies, not going to be plucked there because of what that compensation might have to look like coming back from the Yankee side. Did get some reports today, and we're going to hear later on from great friend of the program, Dave, Jim Bowden of the award-winning front office on MLB Network Radio, Sirius Channel 89. He's got some insight into the Twins. One name you and I have talked about a lot, Joe Ryan. It sounds like he's not going to be traded. That per the conversations or reports from Jim Bowden in discussions with the Twins front office. There's another name on the Twins that he also includes. I will save that to have you hear it from Jim Bowden and his explanation. But Dave, it's a very much a conversation we had last week. We're going to have it into the end of this week. So many teams still alive. They're going to get the opportunity to have the maximum amount of runway into August 3rd to try and position themselves for their front offices to say, okay, boys, you're a definite candidate. We're going to try and get some reinforcements to help you out for the playoff push.
Yeah, if Joe Ryan is off the board, that's one more piece. And now Langoliers from the hitting side and the catching side is off the board. It's going to be interesting. I think some of the players that you assumed might be out there for some of the big boys might not be available. So keep that in mind here as we get closer and closer to that trade deadline. Boy, is the future now right now for Jackson Kuiven. And this kid had all the earmarks of being a full-fledged stud coming out of Auburn. Player of the year there. One, you name it. If it's a Palmer Award, a Nicholas Award, he won it down there for War Eagle. And now, in just his third professional start, he has won on the PGA Tour. And I know you're going to say, well, it's the 3M Open. Scottie Scheffler was in that 3M Open as well. So this becomes one of those younger guys and youngest guys at 21 to get it done in just his third career start as a professional. Now, this is interesting because we've seen this just about every week, it feels like, now on the PGA Tour. Where yeah. From our friends over covers, Jensen, I want you to look at the denomination of this bet yeah. that we saw. $108,108.18. 108.18 for Jackson Kuiven at 37-1 to win. Jensen, that got back this betters over $4 million for the win.
We've seen this a lot, right? As you alluded to, yeah. It feels like this is kind of in the sweet spot of winning $4 million or in and around that amount of money. For what that's worth, Jackson Kuiven winning the actual golf tournament, $2.4 million less than the payout. So 1.584 is what Jackson Kuiven takes home. And for those of you that bet on DraftKings, whoever this bettor is and taking whatever they do, yeah, this is something to put a pin in. Okay, so with that happening, though, Dave, you and I were texting with Joe Friso last night, and I thought, you know what? Let's try and capitalize on some of the momentum here. So I took Kuiven to win the United States Open next year, parlayed with the Phillies and the Yankees over 8 last night. Originally a 60-1 wager, now becomes a 112-1 future that we have in pocket for Jackson Kuiven to win at Pebble Beach next year for one of the golf's more difficult majors in the United States Open. I'll ask you more as we get up to it because I think it's intriguing to hear, but you had this nailed last week, my friend. Well done on your part identifying the winner for this tournament.
You know where that United States Open is going to be next year, Jensen, for your ticket? It'll be in a place called Pebble Beach, June 14th through the 20th. You know who came out and really had the coming out party after winning at Augusta way back when? Tiger Woods at Pebble Beach when he just mollywopped the field. Wouldn't that be interesting if Jackson Kuiven follows in those footsteps at a famed United States course like Pebble and won a United States championship? I'm picking up what you're putting down there. I don't know that the Cardinals have visions of grandeur like young Jackson Kuiven, but they got an older guy leading the way in Jacoby Brissett. Now, again, Carson Beck had already signed his rookie deal, so it didn't take much longer to finally get a new deal for their veteran. He wanted one. It's a revised deal, $15.5 million, a chance to get up there with incentives up to $21 million. But, Jensen, look, this is a guy that, whatever you think of Jacoby Brissett, and it was kind of we were kidding about it as the summer went on, he felt like he earned it. And I think you could say the proof was in the pudding. The numbers look good, if not for a winning football team. At least a serviceable starting quarterback is what Arizona feels like they're paying for.
Yeah, and we'll see what it transpires into. You would believe that it's sort of the mentor to the protege in Carson Beck. Obviously, you take him with that idea of he could be that next man up. We are in that generational quarterback class, Dave. At least that's the rumor here headed into this college football season. We'll see how that plays out. What will play out, though, Arizona's first three opponents, Dave, you're at the Chargers, you're home against the Seahawks, and you're at the 49ers. Good luck, Jacoby Brissett.
Tough division, tough start to the schedule. I wonder how much, like, and by the way, don't turn your back on the Wolfpack and Jacoby Brissett. I love the roof of the guy. He's a very talented guy. He threw it all over the lot a lot last year. Will he be willing to accept that role that you mentioned here with a new head coach there and a rookie quarterback and kind of pass the baton? that could be the job here. And I know sometimes veteran quarterbacks don't like to do that. I wonder about Patrick Mahomes, because you can't play forever, Patrick. We know that. And now you're coming off serious injury. We heard from Patrick. Please like, subscribe, Beast by the Books podcast. You can take a listen in your time. He's very, very excited to be back out there. He said he's passed all the checklists along the way to be fully cleared for full participation in training camp. Jensen, in your eyes, at least in mine, I know, are they in your eyes as well, that this puts behind any questions as to whether he's going to be ready for week one of the regular season?
He may be ready, Dave, but we can't put in the rear view a lot of what's happened over the last three consecutive seasons. Again, if you're a VSiN Pro subscriber, one of the burning questions in our NFL betting guide is Patrick Mahomes still a superstar or a falling star? Woo. In 14 games last year, Dave, Mahomes, 22 touchdown passes, 11 interceptions. The offense was ranked 21st with 21.3 points per game. Three consecutive seasons of declining numbers. Fair to wonder if Mahomes' best days are in the rearview mirror, especially after the injury. Now, that to courtesy of our NFL betting guide. Again, I am not high on this team as far as a division winner. Do I think they find their way to the postseason? Yes, I do. Boy, week one, Monday Night Football and Arrowhead will go a long way, not only for the Chiefs. Remember Bo Nix coming off a pretty significant injury too here for the Broncos. So questions arising in a preseason that you might only see these guys for a handful of times and not anything drawn out, knowing everyone will be focused on week one.
Six wins a year ago, and their total this year is 10.5. We'll break them down a little bit later on, but just remember that. Six wins a year ago without Patrick Mahomes. Now they got to win 11? Okay. Jackson Koivin's already won. We're going to hear from the rookie. The world is his golfing oyster. That's next right here, VSiN by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
The VSiN NFL Betting Guide is out right now as we speak. So you're going to bet those futures, win totals, divisional races, MVP, Roy, or the Super Bowl coming up in February. Our guide's going to help you get ahead of the market before camps even begin, and they're set to begin very, very soon. Inside, full breakdowns of all 32 teams, projected win totals, best bets from all of our experts, future analysis, power ratings, and so much more. Get it today. Our football special is just $175. The sooner you sign up, the more value you will get. Access to everything we do every day and week, up to and including the Super Bowl in February. That's daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. So head over to VSiN.com/subscribe right now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Jensen, I know in the world of golf, we all thought, all right, the majors are over. We're all talking about football season, and we are, because we can't wait for football season. What is there really left to look forward to besides maybe the President's Cup for those real golf hardos out there coming up in September? Well, last week, right here on this very program, Jensen, I mentioned in our segment that we love to do Chaos Candidates that maybe the betting market, you better learn this kid's name now, before it's too late. While we're talking, I know I'm still talking about it and thinking about what happened this week at Royal Birkdale. We might want to start looking ahead a little bit to maybe the next big thing on the PGA Tour. Young Jackson Koivin. Who's this guy? Well, he's a young kid that just turned pro. He's going to make his third professional start on the PGA Tour this week. Had a very good showing at the U.S. Open. As a pro, did miss the cut the first time out, and then bounced back with a top 10 in his second at the ISCO Championship. So, Jensen, yes, Scottie Scheffler's in the field, and we're going to get this from Wednesdays with Wes tomorrow and break down the odds and who we like in this tournament, but 36-1 for young Jackson Koivun. Now, this was undoubtedly the best player in collegiate golf when he was at Auburn last year. Okay, oh, to be a young kid again and turning pro and going to the PGA Tour. And I know that sometimes we feel like we anoint some of these guys and not exactly ready for the big time. Remember, I faded him his first time out, and he did miss the cut, so he cashed those tickets. I don't know that I'll be fading him much longer, Jensen. I don't know, again, that I'm absolutely going to play him in an outright market this week at 36-1. But if you want chaos and you want to make your arrival on the PGA Tour, you know what you do? You go out when golf fans are starved for entertainment after the last major is done, and you go beat a tournament that world number one Scottie Scheffler is playing in, and oh my goodness, we would have chaos in the golf world, and the best kind of chaos, unlike what we saw last week at Royal Birkdale. Let's go,
golf
baby.
Clap?
I mean,
golf clap.
And Jensen, you know, it didn't come down. They weren't in the final group. But the way that it played out was Scotty being the charger and hold off Scotty Scheffler. The PGA Tour couldn't have scripted this any better. And to that end here, Jensen, let's hear from the youngster, because he knew, like we knew, that on Sunday, in order to win, you knew world number one would be heard from.
Started with a lead, but you know, you were being pressured by three major champions out there, particularly Scottie Scheffler, world number one. What was it like for you to be in that situation, and how did you manage that and keep your nose in front?
Yeah, I mean, that's what we trained for. That's the position we all strive to be in, and even through college, it's like you want to be leading a PGA Tour event, and that's what you train for, you work for, and once you're finally in it, you just got to keep your head down and commit to every single golf shot. And fortunately, it worked out for me today.
Did it ever. Jensen, a couple things. One, we mentioned it off the top of the show. You know, he did the kind of the par save on 18 and the Tiger Woods, kind of that putter raise that we associate with Tiger, right? He didn't make a bogey on Sunday. Nary a bogey. And yes, Scotty finished second at 22-under, and Jackson shoots 5-under, flawless round of golf to win it in his first time. We talked about scar tissue a lot, and you know this as a professional athlete, and I just wonder, he doesn't have any. Like, he won at the highest levels in collegiate golf, kind of like Tiger Woods at Stanford, right? And then we saw what Tiger became. And I'm not saying that that's what's going to happen here, but man, he talks about it. He feels like he's going to make every putt. And it looks like he's going to make every putt. Jensen, I wonder how long this kind of welcome to the world period will last. But so far, he seems unfazed by his surroundings.
He does. And if you want to kind of think the good vibes keep rolling, he is 26-1 to win this week's Rocket Classic. Right now, plus 480, top five, including ties on DraftKings to get into the top 10 again, plus 235. That also includes ties. Listen, you know, we've seen some prodigies in the past, right? I know some people started doing some comparison with Jordan Spieth and what he did, just the early success, and now having to fight through the adversity that he has had to deal with. Let's kind of see it. I did it just because the United States Open ticket that I now have 112-1, more so of like, hey, anything can happen, and a lot of growth can occur between now and when that will take place at Pebble Beach in June. So excited to see what this youngster does. What a field that, and wild to say, Dave, the only guys ahead of Jackson Koivun in this week's tournament, these are the names: Russell Henley, Patrick Cantlay, Siwoo Kim, Wyndham Clark, Chris Goddard, Xander Schauffele, and Cameron Young. I mean, that will tell you the fervor and people buying into the hype. Those are the only shorter shots to win this week's Rocket Classic.
You know, and that's the amazing thing, too, is that's a pretty good top of the field that we're going to get this week in Detroit. And last week, as was mentioned there, when you had major champions, it wasn't just Scotty. It was Brian Harman, who's won an Open Championship. It's Hideki Matsuyama, who's won a green jacket. Those guys finished in second for Scotty and then third for those other guys. So it ended up being a pretty class field, at least at the top, that he ended up beating this weekend. And I'm surprised. I thought he actually might be a little bit shorter in the betting market this week. So I don't know if that constitutes value at this juncture here, about 26, 26, 50 to 1. to win this week, but at 37-1 last week, amazing. Look, I had my doubts on Sunday whether or not he'd be able to close, because I'm thinking, let's see it. And he showed me. Like, I'm watching that yesterday, Jensen. I went, wow, it looks good. Here's the thing. He's not – you mentioned the Jordan Spieth comparison. I think there's a pretty good one, actually, because Jordan burst on the scene. He won a lot. Jordan Spieth has won three majors. He's going to be a Hall of Famer one day in the world of golf. And he's – Jackson Koivun is not the longest hitter out there, but he's really good around the greens. The putter is excellent, a la a Tiger Woods when he came out. Let's see if that all translates. I know the golf swing sometimes can look quirky, kind of like Jordan's went through some different – gesticulations, even Tiger Woods' did as well. So it's keep an eye on that too. But he's got everything. He does have distance, not the longest guy. Iron play is really good. There does not appear to be a real glaring weakness at this juncture for Jackson Koivun. So what a pleasant, good story for the world of golf right now as their year starts to end up. We mentioned in the NFL that Jacoby Brissett will be the guy. They've got another guy that they're hoping is going to be a guy in the running back room. Yeah, Jeremiah Love right there, one of the shorter shots to win possibly Rookie of the Year. Let's hear from Brissett on his new money. And is he really jealous of a rookie, Jensen?
And obviously I haven't went with Jeremiah yet, but obviously being able to be here and watch him, practice and do his thing. Obviously, I see why we paid him $50 million, that's for sure.
Wait, what did Jacoby get? And then the kid got $50 million. Like, Jensen, this is the thing, right? We're talking about in context of LeBron James getting 2 years, $8 million. And then you get a rookie like Jeremiah Love's going to get $50 here off the jump as a rookie. But that is the point, right? They feel like they've got potentially a generational talent at running back. We'll see if that plays its way out. But really, even listening to Nathaniel Hackett, the new offensive coordinator, Jensen, they've got a bevy of running backs. And it does sound like, at least if you listen to the OC, that they might give a lot of those guys a lot of run, not just Jeremiah Love.
Fascinating, right? Because it is Tyler Allgeier who they brought over from Atlanta. And I don't think we're in danger of a timeshare right off the rip. Obviously, Arizona has issues on the offensive line from last year that they've tried to be able to bolster up here. And you would need that if your number one pick is going to, you know, be able to produce the way that you think he can. This is still an offense, too, that finally saw the breakout of Marvin Harrison Jr., of course, predicated off of Jacoby Brissett and that dynamic. Looking ahead, too, at where they are just from an offense. And I made this mention last week. I'll say it again from our VSiN NFL betting guide. Remember, in 2025, the Raiders took Ashton Jeanty, 6th overall, and he got 975 yards, 5 touchdowns in 17 games. Looking on DraftKings right now, Dave, at the player futures, Jeremiah Love, regular season rushing yards, 899.5. Regular season rushing touchdowns, 5.5. So you're in that same arena to where, you know, Ashton Jeanty was a year before. So just put a pin in that if you're looking for those season-long futures.
Yeah, I kind of lean towards the over in that because I felt like Jeanty didn't even have a really good year in that rookie year. I would expect Jeremiah Love maybe to have a better year out there in the desert. I think they might rely on him. I'll be curious to see how much he gets that volume to get that home. Let's talk some.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
$30 million in guaranteed prizes cash into this football season in Las Vegas with three Circa Sports contests. Entries starting at $1,000 apiece, all with no rake. That means every dollar stays in the prize pool. Circa Million, it's 18 weeks, 128 ways to win. Circa Survivor, pick one winner every week, and the last one standing wins. And how about Grandissimo? For those high rollers out there, $100,000 entry. You have to enter in Nevada, play from anywhere in this great country of ours, $30 million guaranteed. Visit circusports.com for all of the details. Jensen and I are both included in Million, and I know we're individually also in Survivor as well, as you're going to make that pilgrimage out there to Las Vegas before this football season begins. We do have some breaking news that we want to bring to everybody's attention here on VSiN by the Books. And we all know here, not just with me personally, but with our network as well. Thoughts going out to Michael Lombardi. We know that the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill has placed Michael, the GM of the Carolina football program, on paid administrative leave. That is effective immediately. As is standard procedure with personnel matters, leadership, staff, and student athletes are prohibited from addressing this topic further and has no reflection on the merits. So, on the merits that have been made public. So, that is coming from Yahoo Sports right now, that Michael Lombardi has been placed on paid administrative leave. That is from the University of North Carolina. And, of course, as we get details, we will pass them along. But we know how much he means to this network and all he's done right here on this very show. Let's get back a little bit to some more college football here, Jensen, in the world, because we're starting to get to that time, too, that we're looking at certain teams and certain conferences. We talked a lot about the SEC last week with SEC Media Days. It just means more. But I think you can make the argument, and I know you can, that maybe the Big Ten is a conference people should be paying a little bit more attention to here with, you know, this is the national championships that they've been starting to produce here regularly on the regular. John Jastrzemski, who does a great job here in the VSiN Weekend Morning Line with Will Hill, he made the case for another Big Ten team that maybe we haven't been talking about.
Why do I like the Nittany Lions to make the playoff? Not only because they made the coaching change, bringing in Campbell from Iowa State, they brought in a bunch of his players. Oh, that's exactly where I was going to get. The win total right now, folks, it's over 8.5. Now, you got to lay heavy, heavy juice on it. If you get it at 9, you might get a cheaper number. Listen to this schedule. Marshall at Temple, Buffalo at home, Wisconsin at home, at Northwestern. There's an excellent, excellent chance that Penn State is 5-0 going into that October 10th game, home against USC, 5-0. Then you hit the back half of their schedule. At Michigan, home Purdue, at UW, home Minnesota, home Rutgers, at Maryland. Well, correct me if I'm wrong, the Ohio State Buckeyes and the Indiana Hoosiers and the Oregon Ducks are not on the schedule for Matt Campbell's Penn State Nittany Lions. Doesn't that have a very easy road, but not only an over for the season? Well, that paths a road to go and make the playoff, for goodness sakes here. Come on now, get on board.
I don't know if Will's on board or not, but we're going to have Will on the program later so we can get his thoughts on that here, Jensen. What do you make of that? Because plus 425, by the way, to John's point, of making the college football playoff. He likes Campbell coming over here in year one. James Franklin's he's gone now. He's in Blacksburg, Virginia with the Hokies. What do you make of John's take that maybe Penn State is the team that should be on everybody's radar?
Interesting spot there. And I think that the 20-1 for the Big Ten Conference championship game winner also would be intriguing, just knowing that you would have some monetization opportunities. JJ brings up a great point. You have three big opponents on there, and all three of them, ironically, the shorter shots at Ohio State, plus $1.80, Indiana, plus $2.50, and Oregon just a shade above that at plus $2.60. Interesting spot to go there if you feel like Penn State under Campbell in year one is going to get it done. Now, also remember, too, Dave, this will be a different-looking Nittany Lion offense, a boatload of transfers from Iowa State to coming over with Matt Campbell. They do get James Peoples, who was in the Ohio State backfield last year. He transfers from the Buckeyes, and they got a lot of guys that came over, too, on the defensive side. I'm interested to see also just the onboarding. And we know that traditional Penn State teams, they want to run the football. They want to control the line of scrimmage. They want to have a great pass rush. And they want to be able to limit the running attack from their opposition. I'm all in favor of looking at that onboarding those first 3 to 4 weeks, Dave. I mean, you should be able to institute and execute what you want to do against those lesser opponents. All that being said, we've seen this movie plenty of times where expectations in Happy Valley end up not being met because you lose the games that are the most meaningful. And for most of these Big Ten teams, Dave, there's only about two, maybe three meaningful games in each regular season schedule. So let's see how it plays out. But I do like the idea where JJ's at there of you can start very strong. You can have an opportunity to avoid the big three as far as an odds perspective. And double-digit wins, I can absolutely see where he would think that that would be a very probable outcome for what Penn State will have this season.
Yeah, I'm curious because it feels like the expectation levels, look, they're always going to be high in Happy Valley, that's for sure. But coming off of where they were a year ago, they could be that fly below the radar team here in the Big Ten, at least in the short term. So I'm picking up what John's putting down there and certainly would garner a look for me at plus 425 to make the college football playoff if you're trying to look for a team with a juicier price point as well. You know, what's interesting, too, in the NFL here very quickly, as I mentioned this here off the top of the show, the Rams are still waiting word on whether or not, arguably, the greatest, you can make a case for nose tackle in the NFL, in Aaron Donald, is going to come out of retirement and play this year. Remember, Aaron had put out the videos of him working out and, you know, kind of getting everybody's hopes up there a little bit. So now as we get closer and closer to camp, and we're just getting a month or so away from the rest from the beginning of the regular season, Sean McVay, does he have an update on the monster that is 99? Is he coming back?
And then I'm sure everybody's wondering about Aaron. He is going through his process, and he is putting himself in a position to make a decision, and he's earned the right to be able to do that. And for those of you guys that do know Aaron, he's very diligent. Anything that he does all in. And so he's going through a very strict regimen and process that was similar to what he did when he played, see how his body responds and feels. And then we've had some things that we'll just kind of, you know, check up on each other, and then we'll see when we have more information whether or not we're going to give it a go or whether or not he's going to continue to enjoy what he's been doing for the last couple years. But if that is something that he wants to do, we are going to, you know, try to be able to make that happen. And so, but I genuinely do not have an answer on whether he is or isn't. I know he's preparing himself to be able to make that decision, and if he feels good, then you guys know he's going to be ready to rock. But if not, he's earned the right. He doesn't owe us anything, and he's a special person. You guys know what he means to me.
I think Sean's still talking. I'm not sure if he's done yet. I mean, that was a lot of saying nothing. I mean, a whole lot of, like, you know, hey, maybe he's going to be here. Maybe he's not going to be here. Does he want to be here? He's earned the right. I mean, I have no idea if I'm closer or further away from the idea of 99 being back there. But look, they're already the betting favorite to win the Super Bowl. If he does come back, I think it just gets shorter knowing what he would mean to that front.
Oh, certainly. And remember, their offseason started by going to get Jalen Watson from, you know, the Chiefs and Trent McDuffie in that trade for the first round selection there to Kansas City in that swap. So they already had addressed, I think, what many people thought was their biggest issue on defense. And even if you kept Jared Verse, I still think you feel really good about where their front seven is. Like, there's a lot of people here in Cleveland that are thinking, you know what? Life may not be so bad after Myles Garrett. Now, all that being said, you get a generational guy in Garrett alongside arguably the greatest to do it in the modern era in Aaron Donald. Holy hell. Good luck, man, to some front lines there that are going to have to. Myles Garrett got held on every play, Dave. I watched plenty of Browns tape to see it. Okay, what would happen if you have him on one side, Donald on the other? Oh, man, it's going to be a fun defense to watch.
Yeah, it really is. And look, selfishly, I always, you know this, I root for the greats. I don't retire these people. If they want to come back, that's on their time. I'm never going to tell somebody they should hang them up in whatever profession they choose to do if they're still really good at it. I just, like, you don't know anymore if he's going to be really good at it. We would assume if we're talking about one of the greatest to ever do it, he would still have a year left in him. It just feels like if he wants to come back, it would not get to look any better than this right now if you're Aaron Donald. So I think you're going to start looking at that and go, man, do I really want to do this one more time? But if I do, oh my goodness, as good as you could desire for a plan of attack to come back into the NFL with your old team. The way you went out was pretty darn good. Could you go out with another ring if you came back one more time? Let's talk about Major League Baseball here and some odds to make the postseason that might surprise you. That's next right here. Beeson by the Books.
tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We are back. VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis here with you on this Monday morning. We're going to talk some Major League Baseball here. And some of those teams, as we get closer and closer to the trade deadline, may be rethinking their position on whether they're going to be buyers or sellers. That's where we begin today's edition of the Daily Diamond. We know Jim Bowden, former GM in Major League Baseball, and I know him very well from our D.C. days. You know him very well. Hosting shows with the man. He's very outspoken. He's going to say what's on his mind. I like that about Jim. Now, he had some very interesting comments here, Jensen, about the Minnesota Twins, because they are a team that we thought would be sellers at the deadline. Have they rethought that position? Here is Jim Bowden.
Do you think Byron Buxton or Joe Ryan get dealt before the deadline?
No, absolutely not. I'm being told neither one is going. In fact, the Twins are buyers right now. They feel like they're in the race as well. They feel they have a chance of the wild card. Jeremy Zoll, the general manager, is out there looking for bullpen help. They're trying to get this bullpen better. They feel like they can compete to the very end. And so they want to hold on to Joe Ryan and Bailey Ober and their starting rotation they have. They feel it's good enough to contend and get to a playoff spot. So all of the rumors that you're hearing, and I've seen the rumors everywhere, right? People are saying, you know, Buxton, they get traded to the Phillies along with Bailey Ober. I'm being told no. So that's kind of where that stands. And until someone tells me differently, I'm only going to believe the executives that give me the information.
Arump, Jensen, Twins, we're not going anywhere. This show goes on, baby. What'd you make of those comments from Jim?
Oh, I love me some JB. No filter and then some. He'll tell you exactly where things are. And to be fair, I, as I have alluded to you since the All-Star break, Dave, I felt that most GMs would say in an American League where there's really no team to beat right now, why not us? There's a lot of teams that are looking at it that way. To that end, let me stick the Twins into an interesting make and miss the postseason market for you. Their price to make the postseason right now, Dave, is plus 330. And if you look at where they are as a group here, just overall this season, I agree with Jim that the back end of the bullpen, they've kind of been by committee, Derek Shelton's crew has, for most of the season. You know, gone are the days of Joan Duran. You have, you know, basically Yandrés Gómez, Andrew Morris that have been taking the lion's share of those leverage duties in the eighth and the ninth inning. I think the bigger thing to take out of it is if you're not trading Joe Ryan, you're not trading Byron Buxton, you actually believe not only do you have a chance, but you have a great chance. Dave, this is the seventh highest scoring offense in baseball this year. Let me say that again. The seventh highest scoring offense is the Minnesota Twins, and they can hang with you because of the rotation that they run out there with Ryan. Tosh Bradley has been phenomenal this year. Bailey Ober back from injury. It really has just been the bullpen. They're second to last in walks per nine, second to last in walks hits per innings pitched. They're 28th in ERA. So again, you're going to see, and I can tell you right now, if I were them, I'd be calling the New York Mets about Luke Weaver, about AJ Minter. I would be looking at, you know, some of the other spots and maybe right even in the division there. Lucas Ersig would be a great back end guy who has had closing experience. There are ways to be able to make this a much more palatable. You don't need it to be elite, Dave. You just need it to be league average with the way you're scoring runs right now. And guess what? Their upcoming schedule, home against Kansas City for three, last place in the division. At Seattle, who has had their own issues scoring runs. Then you're at Kansas City. Like, it is all there for the taking for Minnesota to make a nice little run. So not saying to jump on plus 330 to make the postseason right now, but there are far worse candidates that I don't think have at least the offensive prowess going the way the Twins do right now.
And they've been cut down a little bit here. I'm seeing 225 this morning. So maybe with that news coming out that they're not going to be sellers here, and they're going to hold on and maybe add on, as you mentioned here, Jensen, to the back end of that bullpen. That's a very interesting team going forward. Now, if you look at the National League here for some of the odds to make the postseason, it does get a little bit more jumbled. The Marlins, my goodness, they were as short as 250. They're down close to 10 to 1 after this 12-game losing skid. Look at the Nats still hanging around there about a game out right now, plus 820. The Cardinals may be receding a little bit at plus 370. There are my Padres running up the board here, plus 265. And the Buccos, a big win. They needed it yesterday against the Cubs. And, of course, the Phillies, we all believe, we can't see any scenario where they don't make the postseason. But, Jensen, there are a lot of teams that are jumbling for position in the National League.
Yeah, and again, let me focus on a couple of other intriguing ones in the National League side there. The Nationals at plus 820, they are going to be shopping both as a buyer and a seller. A lot of teams that were in town to watch Foster Griffin over the weekend, it is trending more and more that C.J. Abrams will not be traded, Dave, at least if you're looking at more than likely scenarios. James Wood is not going to get traded. I don't know where that rumor started, but that's not happening. You saw Curtis Meade get dealt to the Red Sox and getting Connolly Early back again. Paul Toboni doing a great job so far in year one leading this group. And you have a lot of Philadelphia Philly DNA front office wise, Dave, that came over just this past year. So they're built for this time of year. They understand what it takes to both buy and sell. Nationals, again, with how good that offense has been, you've had to hold on for dear life for the bullpen. But if they go get some bullpen arms, that's an offense that can beat the hell out of you. So, again, not telling you to run and jump on the Nats at 8-1. I would have to see serious moves for the back end of the bullpen. But they can hang around because of the offense there. The one I want to talk to you about is in both the American League and the National League. And it's to make the postseason for the Chicago White Sox at minus $1.18. And also the Pittsburgh Pirates, still at plus money at plus 260. Okay, the White Sox have found ways, and now that Munetaka Murakami had the day he did yesterday, you can kind of exhale. Had that first homer and since the All-Star break. I think you look at also the Pirates with their offense. They're going to be buyers. If you had to hitch your wagon to one, which one would you feel more bullish about even before we have the deadline deals? They're both going to be buyers. They've already said that. Which would you be more bullish on? White Sox in a very tepid, very wide open American League, or the Pirates knowing what they already have offensively and on that pitching mound too?
I got to tell you, it is kind of in conjunction with the news that we just got that the Twins are not going to be sellers. So therefore I'd look to the Pirates at plus 260, because now all of a sudden Minnesota is not only looking at a wild card, they might think the division's still in play. And if the division's still in play, then that could get dicey in the wild card scenarios as we get closer and closer to September. So to me, I'm going to look at the upside of the Pirates. Look, I have not believed in St. Louis nor the Nationals. Nationals can hit. We've talked about that, and certainly their pitching still gives me a lot of issues there. We'll see what they do at the deadline. But if you made me hitch my wagon to one of those, it would be the Buccos. I did take a shot on them at 35-1 to win the pennant, and that is with the belief that if they can get in, then all of a sudden, if Skeens looks like Skeens that we're more accustomed to, and if they do add at the deadline, they could be a dangerous out. Plus, they could be a team just playing with house money. Like this team, if they get to the postseason, I don't know that they're going to get nervy, because they're going to be like, man, nobody expects us to be here. Now we're here, and now we're going to be really a problem for some of these other teams in the National League. That's what I hitched it to. Not the short number of plus 260. I played 35-1 to win the pennant, but if you made me out of those two choices, I don't want to lay the price point here with the White Sox at $1.18. I'd take the plus money on Pittsburgh. I do think they're eventually going to be able to secure one of those wild card spots, even though Philadelphia, whether the Phillies win the division or not, we know they're going to get one of those playoff spots. And if not, that would mean the Braves would get the other if they run them down. But to answer that question, it would be the Buccos at plus 260. To miss the postseason, Jensen, is there a team out there that you think maybe at a price point you think is playable?
The Guardians. I don't know how you can trust this offense. And it does sound like, hearing reports, that they are going to be bargain shoppers for offensive reinforcements. Ooh. That does not scream anything bullish for me if you're looking at a team that has held it together somehow, some way, because their pitching staff has been otherworldly. All the other teams you see on that screen surrounding them, the Yankees, the Rangers, the Mariners, the Astros, they're all going to be buyers. Every single one of them, but they're going to be buying, you know, at the Best Buys instead of the Walmarts. You know, you gotta take some chances here, knowing we may not have baseball next year and how wide open the American League is. Again, that's why I kind of wanted to illustrate those plus money prices. You know, the M's, I'm telling you, yesterday was as big a win they've had all season. If you were to go down 0-3 into that wraparound series, knowing you may get swept by the Rangers, who lead the division in four in their own backyard. You are in a bigger hole than you even realize, both standings-wise and mentally. But the Guardians, unless you make a significant offensive move or two, I don't know how they stay afloat, even with the great pitching staff that they have.
Going to be interesting, too, because you mentioned kind of bargain basement shopping now, because if the big names aren't out there, even the second-tier guys, if Joe Ryan was a second-tier guy, if a Byron Buxton was a second-tier guy, and those guys aren't going to be available, this will be interesting to see where they go. And again, I'd be calling the Mets. The Mets got a lot of talent over there on a dead baseball team. Maybe that's where you start to look. Fascinating what might be left over. Okay, lots to get to here in the next hour. Zachary Cohen's going to join the program to kick it off. LeBron, Philadelphia, is it a playable price? Next, right here. Peace.